Come tonight to the 14th and 15th verses of the first chapter of Mark's Gospel. We've seen the beginning of the Gospel. We've seen the appearance of John the Baptist and the man that he was, his baptism, Jesus' baptism and ours, his temptation. Beginning in verse 14, now after John was been put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. I don't know whether the people then heard that or whether people hear it now. I think that's a short sermon, but this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is the first record that we have of Jesus preaching. And in it we have three great dominant words of the Christian faith. There's the word gospel, the word repent, and the word believe. And William Barclay's helped me to see the significance of each of these, and especially the first word. But let's look at them in turn. The message of Jesus is preeminently good news. Good news. Good news. Now, if you looked at people coming to church on Sunday morning or Sunday night, and you wouldn't think that they were anticipating hearing good news for many of them. If you looked at some of you in worship on Sunday morning, you wouldn't think you were hearing any good news. And if you watch some people as they leave church, maybe the only good news they heard was amen at the close. But anyway, for a lot of people, they don't associate good news with the gospel. But the gospel of Jesus is good news, evangelism, good news. And Barclay went through the New Testament and lifted up this word in its various contexts. And I want us to look at them and see the wonder of the good news. First, in Galatians 2:5 and Colossians 1:5, we see that this is the good news of truth. The good news of truth. Until Jesus came, people could only guess and grope after God. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, cried out Job. Marcus Aurelius said that the soul can see but dimly, and the word he used is the Greek word for seeing things through water. We can't know what God is like. We can't know the truth about God. But with the coming of Jesus, people see clearly what God is like. We no longer need to grope and grasp and guess at what God is like. We know that God is a God of love who cares for us as a father cares for his children. We know the truth about God. That God is a God that created us, loves us, cares for us, provides for our every need through all of our lives. We know the truth about the world, that this is our Father's world at the last. And we know something about ourselves. We not just happen to be. We hear children of the Heavenly Father. God is our Father. We are God's children. That's good news. But it's also the good news of hope. The ancient world was a pessimistic world. Seneca talked about helplessness in necessary things. In their struggle for goodness, men were largely defeated. And we find a lot of hopelessness in the world around us today. But the coming of Jesus brings hope to the hopeless heart. A Christian is necessarily, essentially, an optimist. We believe that this is God's world at the last. And God will not allow anything to happen out of which at the last he can't work some good. And we face the future confident in our Heavenly Father. We face the future with hope. Good news. Good news of truth. Good news of hope. Good news of peace. We find in Ephesians 6:15. The penalty, as someone said, of being human is to have a split personality. The human heart, the human nature, we have the beast and the angel strangely intermingled. Robert Burns said of himself, my life reminded me of a ruined temple. What strength, what proportion in some parts, what unsightly gaps, what ruins in others. Men's trouble has always been that he's haunted both by sin and goodness. We long to be better than we are, and yet the evil is there. And then Jesus comes and unifies the disintegrated personality into one. We find victory over our warring self by being conquered by Jesus Christ. In him is peace. We're at peace with ourselves and at peace with God. Having come to know Jesus, we know God's peace that passeth all understanding, because we're no longer at war with God. At peace with God, we can be at peace with ourselves and with peace with other people. We know the peace of God. That's good news. It's also good news of God's promise, Ephesians 3:6. It is true to say that people had always thought rather of God of threats rather than a God of promise. That God is threatening us, holding us over holding us over fire, you know. Threaten us, the wrath of God, rather than laboring on the promises of God. All non-Christian religions think of a demanding God. Only Christianity tells us of a God who's more ready to give than we are to ask. Jesus, you know, said, ask. Ask and it shall be given unto you. James says, you don't have because you don't ask. God is a God of promise. And this is also the good news of immortality. To the pagan, life was the road to death. Man is characteristically a dying man. And this is still true if we haven't received the gospel, if we haven't heard the good news. I reminded myself sometimes that with all the miracles of modern science and modern medicine, and I'm thankful for them, but with all the miracles that are there, the death rate's still 100%. We can live right, eat right, exercise faithfully. You're going to die anyway. You know, if we don't have anything beyond this life, we're a dying people. But Jesus came with the good news that we're on the way to life, not to death. In him is life, abundant life, more abundant life, eternal life. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. This is good news. And it's the good news of salvation. See in Ephesians 1:13. And that salvation is not merely a negative thing. It's also a positive thing. It's not just a liberation from penalty and escape from past sin. As wonderful as that is, to be free of the past. But also, the salvation makes us more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. The message of Jesus is good news. Good news indeed. Good news of peace. Good news of hope. Good news of truth. Good news of promise. Good news of immortality. Good news of salvation. The second word is the word repent. Jesus said, repent. Repent and believe the good news. And repentance is not so easily as many people usually think it is. Repentance literally means a change of mind, a change of the way you live, the way you think, the way you act. It's much more than sorrow for the consequences of sin and for getting caught. Many people are sorry for the mess sin has gotten them into and wish they could escape its penalty, but if they could be sure of not getting caught, they'd do the same thing over and over again. To them, the thing wrong is not the deed of sin, but that they've got caught in it. To repent is not only to be sorry for the consequences of sin, but to hate the sin itself. I see this contrast pictured so wonderfully there at Calvary. You remember Jesus was crucified between two thieves. And one of them cried out to him, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." This man's problem, he thought, was in where he was. His hell was in where he was, not what he was. That's what he thought. And you can almost be assured that if Jesus had taken him down from the cross and set him free, he'd have been still the same man that he'd been before. Nothing had been changed. He'd have gone on doing the same things he'd done before, perhaps being a little more careful not to get caught. He was sorry that he'd gotten caught. He was sorry that he was dying because of the deeds he'd done. But there was no repentance involved. The man on the other cross, you remember, spoke to the one who cried out to be delivered and said, "Don't you fear God? Seeing that we're all under the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. But this man," looking to Jesus, "has done nothing wrong." And then with a repentant and a broken heart, he simply asked Jesus to remember me when you come into your kingdom. He saw his problem was not where he was, but what he was. And repentance totally changed his outlook, changed his mind. And if he'd been allowed to come down from the cross, you could almost be sure he'd been a changed and a different man. Repentance means that the person who's in love with sin comes to hate the sin because of its exceeding sinfulness and turns from it and turns to God. Repent. Repent. The third word here is the word believe. We have a lot of easy believism today. But Jesus says, believe the good news. Repent and believe the good news. And to believe the good news is simply to take Jesus at His word. To believe that God is the kind of God that Jesus told us about. To believe that God so loved the world that He'd do whatever it took to bring us back to Himself. And He sent His Son into the world to sacrifice His life for us. To believe that what sounds too good to be true is really true. That's what believing is. Believe also, though, commands an action. If you believe something is true, you act upon it. Belief is not just an intellectual thing. It's an, "Oh, I believe that." That's what I say. A lot of people have an easy believism. They say, "I believe that God loved the world and God gave His Son. I believe that." But it makes no difference in the way they live. If we believe something, it radically changes the way we live. I don't know about you, but I've never had any desire at all to jump out of a perfectly good airplane and parachute to the ground. I know that every day there are people that parachute out of perfectly good airplanes. I know there are people that had tremendous thrill out of skydiving. They believe. Every time they jump, they believe that that parachute's going to open, and their belief allows them to jump. If they didn't believe that parachute was going to open, they wouldn't jump. See, belief sets us free to act. It was back in 1984, Winnedale and I went on a little trip up to Niagara Falls. Awesome thing, awesome sight. If you've never been there and get the opportunity, I'd recommend you go. The power, the noise, all of it is just awesome. I heard a story long ago about a world-famous tightrope walker who came years ago to the Niagara Falls and put a cable across the fall from the Canadian side to the United States side. And on an appointed hour, a crowd had gathered, and he got on that table, and he walked across the falls. All that roaring water, all that power below him, to fall is death, but he walks across the cable. And the people cheer. Then he takes a wheelbarrow, and he puts it out on the cable, and he walks across the cable, pushing the wheelbarrow. And people again cry and shout his praises. Now he takes two bags, about 100 pounds apiece, and puts them in the wheelbarrow. And he rolls that wheelbarrow back across that cable with a 200-pound load on it. And the people now are going crazy, you know, with their praise and their acclamations. And there's one fellow there that's particularly vocal about it all. And the man turns to him and said, "Do you believe I could push that wheelbarrow across that cable with somebody sitting in it?" And the man said, "Without a doubt, I know you could do it." He said, "Okay, you get in the wheelbarrow." God's good news of peace, hope, truth, promise, immortality, and salvation is here. And we need to repent and believe. We need to take that leap of faith, trusting that the parachute will open. We need to get in the wheelbarrow. For God will not fail to bring us safely to our destination, where we will be forever with Him. Thanks be to God. Hear the good news. Repent and believe the gospel. Amen. God, our Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your Word. Oh, it's so awesome. So beautiful, so simple. We thank You. And we just pray that day by day our lives will show that we have repented, we have believed the good news. Help us to live that faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.